Welcome to Isaiah. We're glad you're here tonight. As always, we like to open up this service in prayer. So if you would join me in a posture of prayer. Heavenly Father, we call on the power of your Holy Spirit to come now into this place to reveal in our hearts a message from your word. We pray that we would have open ears, open minds, and open hearts to receive that still small voice. May we hear your whisper in the silence, and may the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips be pleasing to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, everyone. Step by step, O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
We invite you to be at peace in silence as you listen for the Holy One. There's a slight addition to tonight's reading, or change, if you will, from the book of Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
A moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning. Oh.
Silence, allow God to direct you to a word or a phrase from the second reading of the text. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see
During this silence, you're invited to come forward to light a candle but to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler up front as you're able to be anointed for healing or prayer for yourself or another. Becky will meet you at the kneeler. Prepare your hearts for another reading. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
A final reading of tonight's passage. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, not one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now you may have to stick with me and follow along here, but I think it's applicable as it comes to mind. I think there's something within us all that we're collectors by nature. I won't ask for a show of hands for those who collect things, because I think we all do. Let me kind of preface that on, like, you're probably thinking, well, how did he get collecting out of that passage? Okay, here's how I got it. Like Moses, it right at the beginning, Moses writes about the righteousness obtained through the law. Okay, so we have to go back a little bit and unpack that. So Moses, if you remember the book of Exodus, he leads the people out of Egypt, following God's lead, brings them into the wilderness, and at some point is called by God to go back up onto the mountain. And when he goes back up onto the mountain, he receives the Ten Commandments, the Ten Laws, right? And he comes back down and he shares that with the people. Of course, there's some drama going on, but we won't get too sidetracked. So it starts out with Ten Laws that God gives Moses and his promised people, okay? Then we get into the book of Leviticus, and by the time we get through the book of Leviticus, the people have taken 10 laws and multiplied them, and now we have 638. You with me? We're collecting, right? We're collecting, all to be for the sake of living a right life. And we carry that with us today. One of the things I happen to collect is, it wasn't by choice, but I love to play golf. And a couple years ago, I got tired of buying golf balls. I wasn't as good as I was today. Not that I'm good, but anyway, I was hitting a lot of balls into the water or into the woods, and I had to constantly buy them. And I happened to stop by, played Again Sports, and made one of the best investments I've ever made. I bought, for $7, I bought a ball retriever. It extends like 20 feet out, and I can reach out and get balls. By the end of the summer, I took that with me every time I played golf. By the end of the summer, I had 2 5-gallon buckets full of golf balls. Now, with that many golf balls and the improvements of my game, I shouldn't have to buy another golf ball for the rest of my life. Seriously. I even took time to clean them. But here's the dilemma. Here's our human nature. Not too long ago, I had a break in my day, so I was going to go to the driving range. So I went to a golf course that I was nearby. They didn't have a driving range. And I said, well, is there anybody on the course? And they said, well, you're in luck. We just had an outing, and they just got done, so you could probably do 9 holes in an hour or less. I'm like, all right, good. I get out to the 3rd hole, and it's a par 3, and it's right next to the green. Is like there's a pond between the tee and the green, and I hit a ball on the green. It was a good shot, and I get over there, and I'm just out of habit, I happen to walk along the edge of the green by the pond, and I see all these golf balls. And I get so mad at myself because I left my ball retriever at home. Now I already have 2 5-gallon buckets of balls, right? I don't need another, I don't need any more, but I was so mad. And I'm like, I'm there with a club trying to reach out. I'm bending down, I'm in my work clothes, I'm bending down, getting my knee wet, and I finally go, what are you doing? Right? I was trying to collect, trying to store up. And I know you know the scripture that warns about that disease, storing up. And I think it's applicable because Paul says that's not how we obtain the right way of living, the righteousness of God. It's not about collecting. It's not about living by the law. It's about confessing and believing and having the Spirit of God, the very presence of Christ living in us. That's what he says. And what's so profound about this is, like, this letter is being read to the Romans, the very culture that crucified Christ, that carried out the execution of Christ. Paul is writing, you can't live by the law, you got to live by the Spirit. And of course, you know, when Jesus comes onto the scene, he blows that whole collection thing out of the water. Because all the Pharisees are always asking him, well, what about this or what about that? Like at least 638 times, right? And Jesus says, well, if you really want to know, here are the 2 to live by. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. So in essence, there's only 2 things that we should be collecting in our lives. The wisdom of Christ found in Scripture, and the collection of other people into our lives, because that salvation isn't ours to hoard. It's not. Paul writes that there's no difference between Jew or Greek. He's writing this to the very people who could have sought him out. In fact, they had imprisoned him, and he had to pull, hey, by the way, I'm one of you guys, that get out of jail free card. And he says, the work Christ has done is not something that we should be stingy of. It's something that we should live out a changed life and share with others. We had a Kids Hope party Sunday after church. And there was over 100 people in this this worship center. And there were 100 people that we barely knew. We knew the kids, but the parents and the guardians and those who attended. Those are the people that Jesus and Paul is writing about. Those are the people that we have to start collecting and saying, this space right here, it's not ours, it's yours as well, right? I leave you with that question tonight. What are you collecting? Are you collecting things of this world? Or are you collecting the things that matter to God? Are you collecting the gifts and wisdom that Christ offers? Are you collecting the brothers and sisters of Christ that don't know that salvation yet? Are you? Jesus comes on the night he was betrayed and he says, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. Don't just collect. Share it with the world. And do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he takes a cup of red wine and he says, "This is my blood, poured out for you." But he doesn't stop there. He says, "And poured out for many, for the souls that need to be collected into the body of Christ. Take and drink the cup of forgiveness, the cup of salvation." So we come and pray this very evening. We pray that the Holy Spirit would bless these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that as we partake in these elements, that we partake in the very essence of Christ, and that our eyes, our minds, our hearts are open to collecting the brothers and sisters that we have yet to come into contact with, and those who are close to our hearts, and those who are beginning to inch their way into our hearts. There's no difference between Jew or Greek. There's no difference between somebody who is rough and rugged and somebody who is clean and proper. For they all matter to you, Lord. So bless these gifts, so in Jesus' holy name, amen. Doug, would you come and serve with me today? Just a couple general house rules. Rules. There we go at collecting again, right? So first, there's a gift basket or offering basket. If you wish to give back something to God. Second, all are welcome to the table. In this church, we don't believe in, well, let me rephrase that. We believe in an open table, meaning that all are welcome to come and receive the gift of grace that God offers. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive. We'll simply tear off a piece of the bread and hand it to you, and you'll hear the words, "The body of Christ broken for you." And then you simply take that and dip it in the cup and hear those words, "The body of Christ," or "The blood of Christ shed for you," and then take and eat. And as the Spirit leads you, the invitation has been set. Come. Thank you. So I take seriously the end phrase there in that passage we read tonight, that Jesus died for all, right? And that salvation is for all. That's why I gave you such a big piece, because it was for all, right? I can't tell you how many people, like a lot of you are used to those big pieces, and apparently I have a reputation about, and there's a theological reason behind that, and here it is, because I think sometimes the amount of grace that has been given to us and shown us needs to be chewed on at times, you know what I mean? Sometimes we can't begin to fathom the love that God has for us. And so even if it takes an extra moment or two to chew on it, I think it's worth it. So may you go from this place as collectors of the things that God fully intended you to collect. That is the wisdom, the grace, the peace, the love of Christ, and the collection of relationships, because there's people out there, well, all people matter to God, and sometimes we need that reminder. Even the people that we can't see that image in, or maybe that we don't want to see the image in, they still matter to God. And so if they matter to God and God is living in us, they should matter to us. Heavenly Father, may we be collectors of your great and good things. In Jesus' name, amen.